You got your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 5. We're going to finish up our sermon series we've been looking through over the last 6 weeks about one-on-one conversations, those one-on-one conversations that Jesus had in the Scriptures. We're going to look at a couple of different conversations within a conversation this morning. I've told you each week about those one-on-one conversations we have in life. I think I maybe have shared this story with you maybe on Wednesday night, but maybe on Sunday morning. But when I think about it, those one-on-one conversations that I've had throughout life, I remember when I was a youth pastor at First Baptist Ardmore, when you come into the church over there, if you enter into the front doors, not the big steps at the front, but the one that most everybody goes in and out of going to the offices, as soon as you come in, there's some stairs on the right that go up, and if you go to the left, you go to the preschool area, and if you go up the right, there's kind of a little landing, and if you turn right, you go into the sanctuary, and if you turn left, you go up some more stairs and into the offices. I was on that first flight of stairs one day, and I don't remember, I'll tell you about this, the details I don't remember going up or coming down or what, but I remember I passed Dr. Fannin's wife, Judy, on the steps. And as I passed her, I said, "Miss Judy, you look nice today." And just as she went by, she said, "That means a lot coming from you." And I said, "Well, what do you mean by that?" She kind of stopped me in my tracks, and I turned and said, what do you mean by that?" And she said, "Well, I know this. If you didn't think it, you wouldn't have said it. I'm kind of wired that way." The funny thing is, I don't really remember if I was going up and she was going down or if we were going vice versa, and I don't remember what she was wearing. I don't even remember. I don't remember what I had on. It's amazing. I don't remember some of the details. But I sure remember the conversation. While the details communicated some things to us, sometimes it's in the details that we really learn about the conversation. I think it's that way for us this morning. We're going to look at a story this morning in the Scriptures where the details and the conversation both make a difference. We're going to look at a story in the Scriptures where not a whole lot was said, but a lot was communicated. You see, I think that's what you got when she said to me, "If you didn't believe it, you wouldn't have said it." There's more communicated there than just what was said. And so we look at the story this morning. It's one we read a little bit last week, but it's kind of a story within a story. And this morning we're going to get conversations within a conversation. But Mark chapter 5, verse 24 to 34 says this. It says, "So Jesus went with him, and a large crowd was following and pressing against him. A woman suffering from bleeding for 12 years had endured much under many doctors. She had spent everything she had and was not helped at all. On the contrary, she became worse. Having heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his robe, for she said, 'If I can just touch his robes, I'll be made well.' Instantly, her flow of blood ceased, and she sensed in her body that she was cured of her affliction. At once, Jesus realized in himself that power had gone out from him, and he turned around in the crowd and said, 'Who touched my robes?' His disciples said to him, 'You see the crowd pressing against you, and you say, "Who touched me?"' So he was looking around to see who had done this. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came with fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. 'Daughter,' he said to her, 'your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be free from your affliction.'" Now, this is a story that we read in Mark. This story is also recorded in Luke chapter 8. It's interesting. In Mark, we get 10 verses for the story. In Luke, we get 6 verses for the story. And over in Matthew 9, if you read it in the story that we read last week, you get 2 verses. But I thought we would take a second and look at this morning, not only from the conversation that's had, but from the details that sometimes we miss in the conversation. When we think about these one-on-one conversations, there's a one-on-one, if you will, conversation with the disciples that happens in this story. When I think about one-on-one with Jesus and the disciples, the thing that they ask is, Jesus said, "Who touched me?" Now, you stop and think about that for just a second, because in most or all of the other miracles that Jesus did for people, who did the touching? Jesus did. Jesus is the one that always touched people. But in this place, it says that she touched him. I think it's interesting, and there's some things that you could talk about with faith and with her faith in this story, but I think one of the things that's interesting is that secret acts, we know this, secret acts of sin are not secret to Jesus. Sometimes we operate like we think when we confess our sin to Jesus that we're informing him and that he's going, oh my goodness, I didn't know. We all know that Jesus understands and sees our sin, that there's no sin that we sin as followers of Christ that he just doesn't see. There's no secret ones. But I also want you to know this. In this story, we also learn that there are no secret acts of faith either. While other people may not see it, Jesus knew. In the throngs of the people, he knew that her faith, something had happened. The fact is, sins are not secret to Jesus, but neither is your faith. Now, the problem with secret acts of faith is that Jesus is the only one who knows that. It never gets past Jesus that we take a step of faith or commit an act of faith. It doesn't get past him. He sees it every time. The problem with a secret act of faith is that none of us get to see it. You see, Jesus is always aware when you take a step of faith. Jesus is always aware when you step out and you grow in your faith, but we don't get to see it if you do it in secret. How are we going to see it? Well, sometimes it's just visible to us, but sometimes we don't see it. And the only way that we would know is if you tell us. Now, we live in a world that says, well, now, if you tell me how great your faith is, that's pretty arrogant and prideful. But the fact is, the Bible says that's based off of our attitude. Now, if the reason you told it is so that everybody would think, ooh, isn't she like Jesus? That's the problem. But if you tell it so that it's an encouragement to other people to say, hey, God's working in my life and growing my faith, and here's where God was faithful, then it's an encouragement to you to grow in your faith and to take those steps of faith at the same time. Those secret acts of faith don't ever go unnoticed by the Lord, but if we're not careful, they can go unnoticed among us, and then they don't help others grow in their faith to be able to take those same things. The second thing that's interesting is the disciples said to Jesus, you see the crowd pressing against you, and you say, who touched me? It's interesting in Luke 8, it doesn't record it over here in Mark, but in Luke 8, it says that Jesus responded to that, and he says, someone did touch me. I know that power has gone out from me. Isn't it interesting that Jesus knew not only that her faith was that great that she said, if I can just touch his robe, but that when she touched him, Jesus knew some of his power had gone out. You stop and think about that for a second. The fact that Jesus just sensed her faith and his power had changed. The disciples, why is it that that would be important? Because the disciples needed to know that Jesus was divine. This is still pretty early on in his ministry. They needed to know that Jesus knew when his power went out that it made a difference. They needed to know that their faith had an impact on his power, that his power made a difference when they had that great step of faith. It's interesting if you read this in the King James Version. I keep a King James Version Bible on my desk when I study because a lot of the times the words in the King James Version are just great words, but sometimes they're a little on the confusing side. But they're the words that a lot of us learned our Bible memory verses in. And so I keep one there where I can always kind of look. The King James Version says this in verse 31 and 32. It says, and his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. I think it's interesting that the disciples say, you realize that somebody touched you? I think it also tells us of Jesus' awareness of people. If you think Jesus doesn't know what you're going through or what you're struggling with, or what your concerns are about this coming week, I want you to know you're wrong. Jesus is very aware of all of us at all times, even in the thronging. Now, that's a tough word and kind of an unusual word for us to use. And when I was reading that this week, I thought, hey, that's a good place to take a chance and say to some of you, I'm amazed at the times when I talk to somebody out about the church or about the Lord or about scriptural things, and they'll say, well, the Bible is just so hard to understand. And I'll say, well, what kind of Bible do you read? And they'll say, the King James. And I'll go, me too. And I'm the preacher. Hey, if you're one that you say, hey, I don't read the Bible, it's too hard to understand, you need to get yourself a different translation of the Bible. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's some great things to learn in the King James Version, and a lot of us grew up with it. But I'm going to tell you, there's way better translations out there that make it easier for you to understand and learn. The fact is, it's silly to eat food that has no nutritious value to it at all. Now, I don't care if you're talking about potato chips or candy bars. You look. They got some bad stuff, but they got some good stuff, too. There's protein in them. You read it. You check the bags. What I'm saying to you is, why would you eat food that has no nutritious value at all? It does you no good to read the scriptures if you can't understand them. I just say to you, if you have a Bible that you don't understand, catch me, and I'll help you find one. I think there's some great ones out there and some good opportunities for you to be able to learn. That's the one-on-one with Jesus and the disciples. I know y'all started laughing because you thought I was making a case for candy bars and chips, but I wasn't. I was trying to make a point. But for what it's worth, one-on-one. Number two, not only Jesus and the disciples, but one-on-one with the woman and herself. Now, we don't often think about this, about the fact that most of us live in a world that says, hey, if you're talking to yourself, that's a problem. But the truth is, let's be honest. All of us talk to ourselves. The problem is not that you talk to yourself, it's when you ask yourself questions and you answer them. That's the issue. Okay? But for us, there's a lesson for us to learn right here for us with her. She says in the conversation with herself, if I can just touch his robes, I'll be made well. Now, it says that she thought that. It's interesting, but if you read over in Luke, it says, when the woman saw that she was discovered, she came trembling and fell down before him. So you would think, well, if she just thought that to herself, if I could just touch his robe, how would they know that was what she thought? It says in Luke chapter 8, verse 47, in the presence of all the people, she declared the reason that she had touched him and how she was instantly cured. You see, after the fact, when everything happened, then she gave testimony. Remember what I said a minute ago about that secret act of faith? You see, if when Jesus turned and looked at her, if she doesn't confess to all the people, hey, here's where I was, here's what happened, here's what was going on in my world, we wouldn't know that it was a great act of faith on her part. We would wonder, why did Jesus heal her just walking through the crowds? But she testified to the fact of great things that she had seen God do. Now, we would also be ones that would look at it and go, hey, well, what about when you say a great act of faith on her part? I don't know exactly about that. But she needed to come to the reality that Jesus is the solution to her issue. It's interesting if you read in the scriptures, and she would certainly be aware of it, but it said she had spent everything she had and was not helped at all. It just makes me wonder. Number one, when it said she had spent everything she had, what does that tell you? It tells you she had tried all the other options. And then she came to Jesus. I wonder how many of us, Jesus is option B, or option C, or option J. How many times does that happen to us that we know he should be option A and plan A, but yet we spend everything we have in our solutions, whether it's our health or whatever the case might be, we try all the other options. And when those don't work out, then we go, okay, well, let me pray about this. Or let me ask somebody to pray about this. Or let me ask somebody to pray with me. It says she had spent everything she had. It was a last resort and was not helped at all. I can't help but wonder this morning, for us here, where are you investing that it's hopeless? You think by doing this, it's going to be the solution to your problem. Or you think by doing this, it's going to be the solution to your problem. Or you think by taking care of this or getting that person involved, it's going to make a solution. But the truth is, the solution is prayer and Jesus. And we're trying all kinds of different things to work it out. We're trying to finagle it, and we're trying to talk to this one so they can talk to that one and help us work it out, when what we need to do is just talk to Jesus. I think it's interesting that the next line says, on the contrary, she became worse. Some of you this morning are probably sitting here going, hey, the situation that I'm in this week is worse than the situation I was in last week. My problem, my issue, my crisis is worse today than it was last week, or it's worse than it was last month, or it's worse than it was last year. Maybe you ought to look at where you're investing and what solution you're investing in. You should turn from those things and turn to the Lord. Because I'll tell you, when you turn to the Lord, things just get better. If no other way, He just gives you peace in the midst of the storm. Now, He may work out the problem, but He may just give you strength to endure. But you're always better off when you turn to Jesus. I think it's interesting. Why is it that she would go through all of this in verse 28 when she said, "For she said, if I can just touch His robes, I'll be made well." Why would she do that? Well, look back at verse 27. Having heard about Jesus, she came from behind Him in the crowd and touched His robe. Why would she have that faith, even though it was a small faith, and even though she tried to do it in secret? Why was it that she would think, if I could just touch Jesus' robe? It's in verse 27, it says, because having heard about Jesus. You see, we're back to that secret faith again. Does God see your secret faith? Yes. Does God honor your secret faith? Yes. But does it make any difference to anybody else if only you and God know about it? Having heard about Jesus. You know how people out there hear about Jesus? It's because people in here tell them of the great things He's done in our life. Let me ask you a question. How many of us have good in our life in the present? How many of us have good in our life in the past? All of us do. Well, let me ask you this question. How many of you bragged on Jesus this week to somebody? How many of us said anything to anybody about the good things God has done in our life? Can you think of something God's done in the last day or two? Can you think of something that God's done in the last month or two? I told you last week, I said something, I don't remember, I was talking, and nobody moved. Everybody went zombie except for Shannon. And she nodded her head, and I noticed it. You know what was interesting? When I said to you, is there anybody in here that this week bragged on Jesus for the good in your life? I saw one hand go up in the whole place. One. And it was that guy right there. The white-headed guy. Scott Landgraf. One hand. Good things. He's telling the truth because I don't know who else he bragged to about Jesus this week. But I went out and rode with him this week on the Gator and looked at trees and just spent a little time. And I'll tell you, he bragged to me of good things God has done and is doing in his life. Hey, for us, brag on God. That's how people hear about Jesus. Lastly, when we think about the one-on-one conversations with Jesus and the disciples and the woman and herself, I think about a one-on-one conversation, the one that we would typically look at in these scriptures, about Jesus and the woman. And I think it's interesting because there's some nonverbal things that happen in this conversation, but there's some verbal things that happen in this conversation as well. You know this as well as I do. Sometimes the nonverbals scream and the verbals whisper. Now, sometimes it's just the opposite. But we all understand the importance of those nonverbals, of how we communicate things in our lives. In verse 32, it says, "So he was looking around to see who had done this." Now, remember, in the thronging of people, somebody touched his robe and he said, "Who touched me?" Now, I've told you this before, but when you're reading the Bible and it says that God asks a question or that Jesus asks a question, you need to stop and think for a second. Why? Because Jesus knows everything, including the answer to that question. When he said, "Who touched me?" You think he didn't know? You think he went, "Who was that?" Of course he didn't. Jesus knew exactly who it was. So why did he say, "Who touched me?" Well, we already talked about the fact of the good that it did for the disciples. Now, I got to be honest with you, too. It's amazing at the times that I stand up here and preach, and I notice little things out here that I've told you. But it's also amazing at the times that I stand up here and preach to everybody, and somebody catches me after the service and go, "Hey, were you talking to me?" It's amazing how many times I'm preaching and somebody will catch me later and go, "Hey, was that for me?" You know what I always say? Yes, it was for you. Now, it's for all of you. That's why we came this morning. Didn't you come here this morning to get a word from the Lord? I'll be honest with you, I don't know that I'm a good delivery boy, but I do the best I can. But I'm saying to you this, if you're listening, you'll hear it either way. Is God talking to you this morning? He should be. If He's not, it's because you're not listening. But I think it's interesting that it says He was looking around to see who had done this. In Luke 8, again over in the story in Luke chapter 8, it says, "When the woman saw that she was discovered." You know why? Because I can preach to all of you, but at different times I just happen to be looking right at you and I just catch eyes with you. I think Jesus went, "Who touched me?" And I think as He looked through the crowd, He locked eyes with her and she knew. He knew. She had been discovered. She figured out there's no secret acts of faith. And it says, then she told Him the whole truth. Again, you'd think He didn't know the whole truth. It says she told Him the whole truth. It wasn't for His good. It was for her good. It gave her a chance to be able to tell the people what Jesus had done in her life. She just said, "Hey, if I can just touch His robe, I want you to know He already knew. And I want you to know for you, He already knows. Just turn to Him." I think for most of us here this morning, if not all of us, we live a life where we want to please the Lord. Now, I think there's wisdom in living a life to please the Lord. I think there might be a few people that we know. I would hope that none of them were in here this morning. I would hope that this would not describe any of you that you want to displease the Lord. I think the reason you're here is because you want to please Him. I don't think anybody here this morning wants to displease the Lord. But I don't think displease is the problem. I think the problem with us here is appease. You see, I think there are some of us here this morning who want to please the Lord. I don't think there are any of us here this morning who want to displease the Lord. But I think there are some of us who want to appease the Lord. And can I tell you something? If that's you, you need to know something. There's no such thing as appease the Lord. You can't. No matter how much you put in the red buckets, no matter how many Sundays in a row you come, no matter how much you read your Bible, it is impossible to appease the Lord. You don't get to negotiate with Him. He's not weighing it out on a scale. And for some of us, I think at times in our lives, we live a life that we try to appease Him. We try to do enough good to overcome the things over here that we know we shouldn't be doing and that we ought to change. And we try to do enough of these that we can just spread them over the top. And I want you to know, for all of us, it's only please and displease. There is no appease. She told Him the truth. For some reason, sometimes we think we can outsmart the Lord. That if we'll just do a whole bunch of good, He'll overlook these bad things over here. That He's working on us to change. That He'd like us to stop. Or that the things that He'd like us to start. That He just goes, "Well, I forgot all about those. You were doing so many good things." You think about those nonverbals. That He was looking around and just caught eyes and she knew she had been discovered. But then He says something verbally that's a game changer. Right at the end of the story, He says, "Daughter, your faith has made you well." It's interesting. But most all of us in here, if I said, hey, do you remember the story of the lady who touched the robe of Jesus and he healed her? How would you title that story? Most of us would say it was the bleeding woman. It's the woman that was bleeding. But that's not what Jesus said to her. Jesus didn't say, woman. What did he say? Daughter. Oh, hey, that's a game changer, isn't it? I was talking this week when I was out with the Landgraffs, and I was telling them that they're getting to hear the sermon parts of it for a second time. I was telling them about it when I was out there this week. How many of you got daughters? Whoa, hey, there's something different about those girls, isn't there? I'm going to tell you right now, Christy will tell you, the reason that Christy never got to have girls at our house is because of me. God knew if he had gave me little girls, we'd have been in trouble. I was pretty strict with Jansen Will. I want them to toe the line. But now the little girls, I just got a soft spot in my heart for them. I think it's interesting that Jesus said, daughter. Your faith has made you well. What faith? Well, her faith in Jesus. Whose faith? Her faith. How big was her faith? Man, now that's kind of interesting, isn't it? Because some of us would say, man, her faith was huge. She thought, if I can just touch the tassels on his robe, I'll be healed. I wouldn't argue with you. Some of us might say she had little dinky piddly faith because it was a last resort. She finally thought, well, I've tried everything else and I've spent all my money. I guess I'll try Jesus. Could you make that argument? You could. So here's what I say to you. I don't know which one of those was her faith, but I know this, every one of us in the room are somewhere in between those two. And here's what I know. Whether it was great faith and he grew it, or minuscule faith, he still grew it. He still heard. For some of you this morning, you got the faith to come to church, but you're struggling with the faith to trust him with your finances. You got enough faith to come to church on Sunday, but you don't have the faith to trust him with your children. You got enough faith to come to church, but you're struggling with the faith to trust him with your health. Some of you got a good enough faith to trust him today, but you're really struggling with trusting him tomorrow. And I want you to know, God honors all of our faith. I don't know where her faith was, but I know this. No matter whether it was great faith or minuscule faith, I do know this. After she touched his robe, it was bigger. After she touched his robe, it was a greater faith. The fact that Jesus says, daughter, your faith has made you well. I'm going to tell you, it was not a reprimand. It was a commendation. I think Jesus said, way to go, girl. You did good. Atta girl. Daughter. Your faith has made you well. Her faith allowed her to experience Jesus' power. Her faith allowed the disciples to confirm Jesus' divinity. Just another step in the process that they go, hey, there's something different about this guy. Not only did he heal her, but he knew she touched him, and he knew that some of his power had gone out. Her faith allowed her to experience Jesus' power, and it allowed the disciples to confirm Jesus' divinity. But her faith also allowed the revelation of Jesus to the village. Why? Because when he finally looked at her and she knew she had been discovered, she testified to what Jesus had done to the crowd. Remember, there was a lot of people there. They were thronging him. And she got to tell the throngs of great things he had done. My invitation to you this morning, is, are you living a life to please the Lord? Or are you trying to live a life that appeases the Lord? Are you living a life of faith? Are you putting your faith to the test? Are you trusting it? Where's God asking you to take a step of faith? Maybe to teach a class, or maybe to be a giver, or maybe to serve in some ministry, or maybe to change a job, or maybe to apologize to somebody that you've had an issue with for a couple of days, or a couple of years, or a couple of decades. Where's He asking you to take a step of faith? Whatever faith you have, would you be willing this morning to take that step in order that the Lord might say to you, "Son, well done. Daughter, I'm proud of you." And I would tell you this, it's really in the presence of people that it makes a difference. You may wonder why I always say, "Hey, come forward and pray," or "Come forward and pray with one of our people here at the front." Because I'll just tell you, a decision that you make out there usually doesn't last and it doesn't stick. But I'd also tell you, if you never move, nobody knows that God spoke to you this morning. Would you at least come and pray and go, "Hey, God spoke to me, and I'm going to take a step of faith. I'm going to trust Him with this." Whether you pray with us or pray by yourself. I like for people to see that God's working in our service. That's why I say come forward and pray where God has spoken to you this morning. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for this day. I thank You for the opportunity for each of us that we have to be in a place that You can teach us to grow our faith. Lord, I pray that in our conversations with You one-on-one, You would help us to know that You're cheering for us, that You want to commend us, not condemn us. Lord, I just pray for those this morning who need to take a step of faith, that You'd help them to this morning, to not spend all they have and then turn to You, but that they would turn to You this morning. And Lord, I pray for those this morning who are trying to do enough good things to appease You. I pray this morning that they would not try to appease, but that they would please You by repenting and walking with You and asking for forgiveness and being on track. Lord, I pray this morning that we would be a people pleasing to You. Give us the courage. Give us the strength to be obedient. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.